Well, like I said, today is kind of a different service. We are we're really having a special service where we're kind of pausing from our normal order of worship and our normal way of doing things to kind of maybe allow us to lean in even more to God. I think one of the things that's important sometimes is, I think one of the problems in worship is sometimes we come to worship and it's kind of, we expect the same old thing. We expect the same stuff. And I think one of the things that I want to help us to realize is to discover what worship really means. And really, sometimes as we come into worship I grew up in church, going to church every Sunday. And to be honest, sometimes when I would come to worship would kind of become mundane when it should be everything but mundane, when we're connecting to the God of the universe. And sometimes our means of worship can actually be a reason that prevents us from connecting with God. You get that? And so one of the things I want to do today is all about helping you to better worship. I mean, one of the goals that I have here at The Fountain, one of the things that we talk about, we want to be incredible worshipers, not to just have better performances on a stage, but what does it look like to be a church that really drives things forward in the way we worship God? I mean, what would it look like if people were to come in here and to experience who Jesus is, not just by the spoken word, not just by what happens up here, but as they bump into each person, as they see people worshiping the Lord and encourages people in their walk with the Lord to connect with Him as well. And so today I kind of have more of a devotion for you, more of an idea than a whole message and everything. We're going to sing a little bit more music than normal, and we're going to take communion. But I just want to invite you to just rest in God in this service. Rest in God. And here's the thing I want you to know about worship. You may not realize that there is incredible power. There's incredible power when it comes to worship. And when it comes to our worship. In fact, one of the things is that worship is so much more than what we're doing in here. There's a lot more going on in the cosmos and in the heavens than what you see. See, when we talk about worship is kind of like a diamond. And I know my wife perked up. You know, she loves diamonds. I found that out when I proposed to her. Worship is multifaceted. It's got a lot of parts to it. And so worship is what we're doing. Worship is singing. Worship is reading scripture. Worship is a lot of things. But really, worship, we come to understand that worship is so much bigger than just the forms of worship that it takes. Worship is really a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that's lived out to the glory of God. See, worship is anything. It's not just music or a Sunday event. It's anything we do that brings honor and glory and praise to God. It's anything we do that says, God, because of what you've done and the way you love me, I'm showing my love to you. That's what worship is. So you can worship in a lot of different ways. But one of the biggest aha moments in my life happened in my relationship with God because of worship. See, what I didn't realize early on in my faith journey is that worship, one of the biggest things that we do when we worship, whether it's privately or corporately, one of the biggest things about worship is connecting with God. And I remember growing up in church and going to worship services. We'd get all dressed up, and that's an awesome thing to do. And we would sing these amazing hymns about God, these songs about God. We would go, and I would listen to a message as early as I can remember about God. And then we'd go to Sunday school or whatever discipleship thing it was, and we would talk around about God. And it was all these things about God where we were learning about God. But the thing that the shift really happened in my life when I was a teenager. Suddenly, I was introduced to contemporary worship music. Now, this is not a thing about whether which music is better. I have a classical music degree. I can opera with the best of them, right? But I love both styles of worship. This is not about style. But the thing that I found that through contemporary worship, God, by stripping away some of the form of religion, God allowed me to actually connect to Him. That I was not only, I realized that maybe I had not been invited to this before, but I could actually, when I sing praises to God and when I worship God in any form, that it's not just about God and all this stuff, but I could actually direct my praise and my worship to God. That all of a sudden the audience became not when I was in kids choir with my parents clapping for me, but suddenly the audience became anything in my life where God starts to applaud because of things that give Him honor and glory. And so the thing that I've realized is that when we worship, we can attend worship and go through the means of worship, but not actually worship God. Worship is about connecting ourselves and our lives to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and realizing who He is and what He's done and directing our thanks and praise to Him. And the thing that I know is that true worship doesn't mean that we offer this sterile, half-hearted praise to God. It also doesn't mean that if you're a thinker, you don't have to leave your mind at the door. In fact, the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to praise the Lord, and with all your strength. God wants us to connect every bit of who we are to our worship. Thank God we don't have to leave our head, our mind at the door. And we don't just worship some distant God who's somewhere in the heavens away from us. But one of the greatest gifts that God has given us when we worship is that God actually wants to connect with us in worship. That may seem like not a big deal, but I want to help you understand why it is a big deal. See, God wants to show us when we worship his power and his holiness and his glory and his majesty. Have you ever gone to the mountains before or to the ocean before and said, wow, how did all this happen and how did this all this come to be? In the same way, when we get around God, God wants us to be able to see who he is and say, wow, God, you're awesome. You are so powerful. But at the same time, when we worship, God also reminds us that although he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that says, makes us say, wow, you are awesome, God, and there's none like you. At the same time, we worship a God that is so present and that loves us so much. And in order to understand the power and the privilege that God has given us to connect with him in worship, I want you to check out what the psalmist writes in Psalm 95. There's really two different aspects you're going to see. God is transcendent and God is immanent. Those are big words to basically say God is transcendent. God is so big. He's so much otherly. He's not like us. But at the same time, God is so imminent. He's so close to us. Check out how the psalmist talks about it. Psalm 95. It says this: come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. That's what we're doing. Verse 3. For the Lord is our great God. This is the transcendence. The great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, this is the invitation for immanence, to be close to God. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. You see how the psalmist is weaving this whole idea of, God, you are so big and so much different than us, and at the same time, God, you are so close and you love us so much. In fact, the psalmist uses this big language. He says that, God, you're the King above all gods. The mountains and the seas belong to you. But he starts and he ends with this reality of, God, you are close. And you love us. He says, we are his people and you are our God. So when you understand that God is both transcendent and immanent, transcendent just means that God is so much greater and higher than us. That God had the power to create us and to effectively hold all the stars and the moon and the planets and everything together, but also so close that he has the same power that can hold our lives and our relationships and everything in our lives together. And so when we worship, we realize that he's holy and he's set apart. And when we worship, it's not because God needs us to worship him. That may be a new idea. See, God doesn't need us to worship him. In fact, I heard Louis Giglio talk one time, and he said, God doesn't need anybody propping him up in order to make him look better. God doesn't need anybody propping him up to make him look more powerful or more majestic. I mean, the scriptures tell us that God is sitting on a throne. I mean, he's not laying in a lounge chair hanging out. It says that he is on an everlasting throne, which means it never ends. It means he's always going to be the king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, we worship a God who can summon armies of angels for protection. He can speak and breathe life into existence. He can heal people of all sorts of things. He can raise things from the dead, even in us. And he's the same God that at the sound of his name, demons even run and flee. This is a different kind of being God that we worship. And so God doesn't need our worship to be more magnified in the world. In fact, all the angels of heaven, the Revelation tells it, all the angels in heaven right now are singing his praises, holy, holy, holy right now, whether we decide to worship him or not. And so I believe that God has created us to worship him and to get in tune with the symphony of heaven. And can't you imagine what it's like for God to hear the symphony of the angels singing, holy, 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 and all the different churches and all the different languages right now singing, holy are you, God. God, you are awesome. You are so loving, God. And to hear that, I wonder what that's like for God to hear that kind of worship. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day everybody's going to worship, but I want it to be now when I decide to worship the Lord with everything that I've got. And so no, God doesn't need us to worship him to make him any greater or to lift him up. God doesn't need us to worship, but God invites us to worship him. God invites us to worship him so that we can connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, worship is one of the ways that we connect the transcendence and the immanence, where heaven and earth meet, where we connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and realize this Savior is the one that invited the disciples to come follow him. It's the same disciple, the same Jesus that died on a cross and rose from the grave and wants to do the same thing in your life, to raise dead things in us to life. And so that's why connecting with God in worship is so vital. God wants to connect with us and to be in relationship with us, but we need to connect with God. God's our sustenance. He's our source. He's the one that holds everything together. And when we worship, it reminds us of who God is, what God has done, and how much God loves us. In fact, Zephaniah 3:17, check out how much God loves us. Here's what it says. The Lord your God is with you. That's present with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that awesome? That God has created us and he rejoices over the best of his creation, us, with singing. He wants a relationship with us. And that's what worship is about, connecting with God. And the thing that I found is that the more you worship God, the more you start to recognize God at work in your life. That's why we do what we do here on Sundays. You start to be more attuned to your antennas up to what God is doing in your life. And the more you start seeing what God is doing in your life and the way that he is loving and powerful in your life, the more you turn back to him and say, God, I want to worship you even more. It's cyclical. You want to worship even more. And so when we come to corporate worship together, whether we sing or pray or read scripture, the goal for us is to connect with God. Not to go through the motions, but to connect with him. And so what if you came to worship not saying, God, what can I get out of this service today? I mean, that's a good thing. God wants to pour into us. But what instead, what would it look like if you came to worship and said, God, how instead can I connect with you? And God, how can I take the best of who I am and offer that to you? And whether you raise your hands or lie down or bow, or whether you just stand at attention in the presence of God when you worship, God simply wants to remind you of his presence and his power and his love. And God wants to remind you that he is so close. He wants to be close to you every single day. That starts when we worship. So as we think about all those things, who God is and what God has done, as we think about worship, let's stand and let's continue this time of singing and praising God for who he is and for what he's done.